Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. This is the Man of the Month. This is Glenn Greenwich coming to you live out of New York City. Today is October 25th, and this is the fourth Sunday. The first Sunday of the month brings you On Track with Henrietta Bird. The second Sunday brings you Let's Celebrate with Shakaysha Showers out of Compton. And the third Sunday brings you Vision Work. And the fourth Sunday brings you Man of the Month. Here we go. We also have, as part of our network, the Wealth Club. And that comes on the second and fourth Tuesday. So don't miss that. We've got some interesting guests lined up for this Tuesday, the 27th. We're going to have Steve Kaplan, who is talking about environmental phase one testing and the reasons why you should do that for investment characteristics and for investment property. And we're also going to be talking with Phyllis Jackson, who's talking about virtual assistants, you know, having a virtual assistant for your business. But before we get started, we're gonna do the declaration of the International Black Summit. And that's coming to you out of Atlanta, Georgia, back in 1991. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Again, today's date is October 25th, 2009. Above, below, north, south, east, west. And with that, I bring you a moment of silence, please. Thank you. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and this is Man of the Month, and we're going to be doing something a little different today because we're going to have a special guest host that's actually going to be hosting the show. And her name is Henrietta Bird. And we're going to be talking about organic gardens. And we're going to be talking about eating healthy. So we've got a couple of lines out there, I see. 603 and 630. So please join in the conversation. Press the one button, and we can get your questions answered, questions, concerns, or comments. So let's get started, Henrietta.
All right. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. And for the listeners, you know, Glenn is the host normally on Man of the Month, but we decided that he was the Man of the Month for October, and so we turned it around a little bit because we want you all to understand who Glenn is. And one of his passions is his garden. And so I thought it would be great, and I and the other host, we thought it would be great for everyone to find out what it is about this garden, because whenever we're in conversation. Glenn is doing something in his garden, or he's just finished taking care of his garden. And then I wondered, because I have two people who are very close to me who love gardening, and I was just wondering, was there a difference in what females do and what males do as far as gardening is concerned? So that's another thing, you know, I thought we'd talk about. But also, we had an experience with Glenn and three of his family members experienced the swine flu, and he cared for them with the vegetables and different things from his garden. And so and he had this little formula. He was using a lot of garlic for this, and he put this, you know, he put all of these herbs and spices in different foods for different reasons. And so I thought, okay, that is just really interesting. And next thing you know, his family was doing fine. So we want to cover some of those things tonight. And hopefully, you know, we'll get an idea and of what to do with an organic garden. Because a lot of people I know here in Chicago, it's a big push, Glenn. People are talking more and more about organic foods. The organic sections of the grocery stores are larger and larger. And I'm noticing that the prices even, you know, at one time the organic fruits and vegetables were a lot more expensive than the other ones, you know. And now that a lot of the prices are the same on, you know, different fruits, I mean, different vegetables and fruit. So let me start off by asking, what made you start a garden?
Well, the person I can credit is my mother.
Okay.
As a young man, my mother was getting, you know, needed some assistance in the garden. And my father, for whatever reason, was not available, so she got me out there, and I would turn over the garden, and I would do different things to start the garden out. And then, of course, as the years went by, I would pick up more of those tasks, and it finally got to a point where my mother was not able to do some of the things, and so she directed me. And so even to this day, my mother's 83 years old. She still gives me some tips and some techniques about taking and mending the garden. So I inherited it and enjoyed it. And maybe a couple years ago, I decided that I would use the garden to supplement my fruits and vegetables and whatever I could grow. I would, you know, anything that I enjoyed eating, I tried to grow, because I would know what was going into it.
So you grew up eating organically.
Well, you know, it's interesting. At first, I actually wasn't, because I was mm-hmm. used Miracle-Gro, and then one of my friends from the summit came over the house and said, "Well, you know, Miracle-Gro's got a lot of the, you know, the steroids and all of the, you know, the additives in there." And so you're really not growing an organic garden. I said, really?
Mm.
I says, okay, good. And from what I understood, it takes about 2 years to clear it out. So what I did is all I used was manure. So I okay. used manure, and I used some lime. And what I do is I actually with put eggshells into the ground and use that and turn over the ground with that in it to add to the richness of the soil. So I'd say I've been doing organic, official organic, for the last 5 or 6 years.
So now, about how large is your space?
Well, let's see. My space is about... maybe about 10, 15 feet deep, and maybe about about 6 feet wide.
Okay.
So it's not a very big space, because in addition to that, I have a little cement by the back of the house, and then I have a walkway, which is cement that goes up one side, does a little L shape, and then comes back down. And so I plant around the edges and then in the middle.
Okay. And so now do you eat meat at all?
Do I what?
Are you a meat eater?
Yes, I do. I do eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
But I mostly, in the summertime, I really cut back on the meat that I eat. And
mm-hmm.
what I do is I eat whatever I can out of the garden, because I've got herbs and I've got, tomatoes and celery and different things that I grow, parsley, different things from time to time. So I try to mix it up, but I try to eat as much of everything I can in the summertime out of the garden.
Okay. And so, okay, because you are in New York. Now your garden, are there things that grow in the wintertime in New York? Is your garden still,
Well, there are a few things that would still grow. For example, the collard greens will actually survive a winter. So
okay.
When I have them, they will actually grow all year long. So I can go out and pick some around between Thanksgiving and Christmas time, and of course they're nice and big in the spring when the weather breaks, because they've been in the ground the whole time and growing.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Well, let me just remind everybody that this is the International Black Summit Talk Radio, and today we're featuring our usual host, Glenn Greenwich, is our man of the month for October. And I'm your host for this evening, Henrietta Byrd. So we're having a conversation with Glenn about his organic garden. And he's sharing with us, just some tidbits, about the size of the garden, whether you can utilize it all year long, the things that grow throughout the winter, as well as, the things that, I guess everything works in the summertime. So I think my next question is, Glenn, can you just give us a list of what's in your garden?
Okay, let's see. I'll start off. I have some red onions. I have strawberries. I have raspberries. I have garlic. I have, I have zucchini, actually gray zucchini this year. I have parsley. I have thyme, big leaf thyme, small leaf thyme. I have sage. I have celery. I have tomatoes, and is there anything else? Strawberries, raspberries. Those are the main things that I have this year.
And do you change around from year to year, or are there things that you are there your regulars that you grow every year? You change, and add to, or, there's any, that's one question. The other question is, are there some summers or seasons, I guess, that are better for certain fruit, vegetables, or herbs and spices than others?
Well, I do grow, I forgot all the mints that I have. I actually have peppermint, spearmint, apple mint, and lemon mint. I do change. So this year I had zucchini and jalapeno peppers. I've had in the past, I've had bok choy, which grew very well. I've had the green peppers, regular green peppers. I've habaneros, the little small round peppers. I have had, let's see, what else have I had? I have had eggplant, and I've had, what else have I had? So those are the things that I switch up. Now, the things that I found to grow the best are probably the things that I have from time to time, which is the herbs. Tomatoes and the herbs, all the different thyme, small leaf, and the big leaf thyme I actually have to bring in the house because it will freeze. So I have to bring it in before the first freeze. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, it really depends. The freeze is what makes it different from year to year. Like last year, I had okra, but you have to be very careful with the okra because I can't plant it before April unless we're going to have a warm April on in. So if I plant it too early, I'll lose the plant. Also, my cucumbers, normally I have to, well, cucumbers is not a temperature related. I have to worry about the squirrels because for some reason the squirrels like the very young cucumbers, so they'll eat my cucumbers. So I have to wait a little late to plant the cucumbers as well. So I try to get everything in my garden between May and June.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then it takes how long for most of it to grow?
I usually harvest by the end of August, mid-September the latest.
Okay. Oh, that is so interesting. And, okay, one thing, you mentioned several times about small leaf thyme and large leaf. Is there a difference in the flavor?
Yes, there is. The big leaf thyme actually almost looks like a mint, whereas the small leaf is the one that you get in the stores, and you'll get five or six stalks. They're very small and flavorable. I actually have small leaf thyme, and I also have lemon thyme, and which is a lemony flavor for the small leaf thyme, which is a little different. And the thyme will grow approximately 2 years. You might get 3 years out of it, but it won't come back after that, so you'll have to plant a new one. Rosemary is the other one that I love planting, and I didn't plant this year. And it's interesting, depending on the harshness of the winter, the rosemary will come back. My sage is very hardy, and that will stay. I don't have to worry about that. That one will come back next year, as will my mint. All my mints will come back because they're like weeds.
Mm-hmm.
And then my strawberry and my raspberry bushes will come back. I did something different last year with my raspberry. Normally, the neighbor that gave me the raspberries cut them down and let them grow up from scratch, pretty much, because they'll come back every year and won't be affected by the roots. But this year, I let them grow from where they were last year, and man, did I get a crop of raspberries this year. Now, raspberries bear twice a year, twice a summer, I should say, so they'd be... So they bear maybe right after the mulberries, probably. Actually, they bear before the mulberries. So that was about June or so, and then I still got a few raspberries in the garden now for the second crop.
Mm. So is there anything that, I mean, is there anything that you won't grow in your gardens? Because I noticed you didn't mention, like, potatoes or, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, what didn't he mention? Like potatoes or, what else? There was something else I was thinking, cabbage, that kind of stuff.
I've grown cabbage and I've grown, I forgot to mention, I do grow some potatoes. Because what I do is instead of when they spoil and get soft, I'll just throw them in the garden and let them come up. The potatoes are usually pretty small. They're not very big, so there's not a whole lot of and the flower is pretty big. So it kind of takes up more space than it's probably worth. But, you know, I throw them out there anyway. I have I use every inch of space
okay.
I possibly can. So I kind of fit. I'm not one of those neat row-by-row people. I look for spots that I can put it in, and I try to anticipate how much space they'll need in terms of growth.
Okay.
Like, for example, this year we had all that rain, so my zucchini, oh, my goodness, it was all over the place. I put up poles and ropes for it to hang on, and it was pulling the ropes down and in the poles in the ground because it had gotten so big because we normally don't get that much rain. And so it was a little unruly.
Well, let me ask you this, health-wise, have you seen a difference in your health since you've been, using your organic foods?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The difference is you can actually taste it, and we've got a couple questions, a couple hands up. But,
okay.
You can actually taste the fruit, the meat. Like for, I'll give you an example for tomato. So when you eat into a homegrown tomato, the difference is that it's meaty and it's fleshy. And, you know, when you get it in the store, you'll cut into it and it's kind of hard and it's not fully red and it's not soft.
Right.
So that's a homegrown is soft and meaty and you can taste the difference. So I love eating out of the garden, absolutely.
Mm. Okay, well, this is International Black Summer Talk Radio, and we're featuring Glenn Greenidge as our Man of the Month, a man who has an organic garden. And so we're going to take some questions now let Glenn talk to some of the listeners about the garden.
Yeah, we've got 630-217, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Good evening. Congratulations to you for being the man of the month.
Thank you.
And I have a ton of questions, but I'm not going to carry on since I'm not the guest. But just a few. I wanted to know, you talked about your childhood and your mom. Did you follow the Good Friday planting tradition? Did your mother do that?
I'm not sure what that is. Would you explain what that is for us?
Well, in my community, the people would plant the root plants, things that grew under the ground, you know, like turnip greens and those kind of things on Good Friday.
Oh.
And it was just a tradition to, and even if you didn't have a large garden, just to plant something that grew below the ground on Good Friday. And so I was just wondering if you had that tradition in your family.
No, unfortunately I don't, but and that's anything that grows under the ground that you planted on Good Friday?
Right. Mostly,
I'll have to incorporate that. That's actually great because that's usually a good planting time anyway.
Right. But no matter what the what the weather, even if the weather wasn't really ready, you know, for Midwest area planting, they would always plant something.
Okay. So because Good Friday, some years can actually be in March.
Right.
So that would be, you know, yeah, that can still be really cold in some places. But I understand, just to get it started, or just to, you know, have followed the tradition, you plant something on that day.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing about that is if you're planting stuff that's going to be that's growing under the ground, that's actually great because you have a longer growing period. So
exactly.
That's actually perfect. But go ahead. You had another question or comment?
I wanted to know if you did any type of organic pesticide things, you know, like ladybugs or something like that.
What is very good that I've been told is that marigolds keep away a lot of the pests, especially for tomato plants. So this year I've actually planted marigolds within the garden because there's something about the bugs don't like that scent.
Right, they don't like it. Do you have roses?
Yes, I do.
One of the things you can do is plant your tomatoes against your rose bushes because the cutworms don't like the thorns on the roses.
Oh, good. Yeah, because I haven't encountered too many cutworms, but I was helping a friend of mine at a community, community garden, and there seemed to be more cutworms in that area than my backyard, but yeah, mm-hmm. cutworms can be a problem for sure.
Now, what are cutworms?
What are cutworms?
They're worms that come along with tomatoes. Every plant has their own little creatures that congregate. But they cut into the tomato. Sometimes you'll have a tomato with a hole in it and there's a worm in it, or they eat the leaves.
Sometimes
they can be very pesty.
There's also a tomato caterpillar that also is comes about. I had a huge one this year, and I actually grabbed it and fed it. I have some turtles that I keep out in the yard, and so I fed it to my turtles, and they devoured it. They attacked it. But I went to grab it. It tried to bite me.
How big? I mean, how big are you talking? The caterpillar.
It was probably as thick as my thumb. Actually, it was a little wider than my thumb, so it probably was about it. Inch, maybe inch and a half wide, and it was about 3 or 4 inches, maybe about 5 inches long. So I mean, it was the biggest one I've seen in a while. Normally they're maybe as big as my pinky, and maybe as long, but much thinner. So this was the biggest one I've seen, and he or she had damaged about two plants, and because all the leaves. Fortunately, it didn't kill the plant because it still was able to bear some tomatoes. But it did damage those two plants before I caught it.
Well, my last question is: do you have do you keep the seeds from the best of your harvest and replant them, or do you buy seeds, or do you buy the plants themselves in the spring?
It depends. I do keep the seeds. I do harvest the seeds, but because we have such a short growing season, I end up mostly I'll do plants. And and then I'll do some seed. So it depends on what it is. I haven't had a whole lot of success with my green peppers because I've got loads of seeds for that. But last year I was able to actually grow some from the seeds, and I have, because I feed the turtles tomatoes.
Right.
What I usually do is I use their dirt when I'm refreshing their little pit that I've got them in. When I'm refreshing that, I use that, and that is a great seeder for my tomatoes. So I've gotten more tomatoes from them, their dirt, than I have from the plants that I buy. So I buy very few plants because of that. And I also have basil and garlic and some other seeds that I keep as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we have another caller?
Yes, we do. We have caller 773-752. Go ahead, please.
Hi. First, I'd like to say I am getting so hungry. That was my first comment, and the previous caller did ask some of my questions, and I, like her, have a dozen or more, but I'll try to limit it to three and try to hold off till dinner because I am so hungry. But one of them, everything, the garden just, I wish I could see it because it sounds just fabulous. And the space you're describing just sounds so chock full of all of the good stuff that, that I've been really preparing in the past year or so. So the first question I wanted to ask you, because I'm interested in organizing a community garden, and I'm in the city of Chicago.
Okay.
So my first question would be, what type of soil did you use when you first got started? And I know you replenish it every year, but what kind of soil would you recommend?
Well, they actually, Home Depot and some of the nurseries have some good topsoil.
Okay.
So you want to make sure you have some good topsoil. You also want to make sure that you get some manure.
Okay. Would you recommend topsoil and manure over the mixed garden soil?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Because there's something about the topsoil that. See, one of the things is that you want to have it so that it holds the moisture.
Mm-hmm.
And between the manure and you have to have enough topsoil so that maybe the top will be dry, but there'll still be some moisture underneath for the root system.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you also want to, you don't want it too grainy or sandy or thin. You want to have it, thick enough so it can keep that moisture.
Now, the second question I had was about your garden beds. Did you build right into the ground? Did you garden right into the ground? Did you throw your soil on top of your land, or did you build up beds? Because I've heard differing viewpoint, which is better?
We don't in my garden. Again, I inherited it from my mother,
mm-hmm.
and so we didn't do the buildup of the garden because what I would do each year is I would put down manure, and then every other year I would put down the limestone.
And then
I also would put the eggshells.
Okay.
And so all of that, I was reading something, and they talked about an organic garden for this restaurant. And the woman crushed up oysters. They sold oysters at the store, or she would get them from somewhere. She'd crush up oyster shells and put that into the soil.
Mm.
And the reason why she would do that is because of the calcium and all the nutrients that
right.
would be contained in the shell.
And
so
that
I
would be in the spring.
Said, well,
during
why wouldn't I do eggshells?
Okay. And that you would do that in the spring before planting time or in the fall?
I would do that in the spring. Because what I do, I actually dig up the soil every spring, and I mix in the manure with the soil.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
Now, as far as the building it up, people that build it up, what they say is that by building it up, you actually get more water to the roots.
Okay. Now, is that more water in a good way or more water like too much water?
No, more water in a good way because you've got it built up, so the roots are a little closer to the ground
mm-hmm.
than near the trenches of water.
Okay.
So, you know, where the water, so you'll actually get it easier to the roots. Now, again, it depends on what kind of planting it is, because some need more direct sunlight, some don't need as much,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got some that can actually exist in like a swampy, like for example, all of my mints, they could almost grow up in a swamp because as much rain, they can handle it. It's not a problem.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if there's anything that doesn't. Maybe the garlic is looking for a little drier. But the thing is, we normally don't get that much water in New York, so
mm-hmm.
I'm usually out there every night watering the garden because it can get pretty warm in the day, and then it's cool at night.
Mm-hmm.
So I just make sure that I kind of look it over, and then of course, if something is not growing well, I try to give it a little extra water or, you know, kind of see what's happening with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and my final question would be, and you kind of touched on it, are there, aside from the moisture issue and the light issue, the sunlight issue, are there any plants that should not be planted next to each other? I mean, do you group them according to the moisture needs and all of that? Or, you know, I heard you say earlier that wherever you find a spot, you know, you put something in. Are there any plants that are not compatible growing next to
each other? Not that I've found. However, the biggest problem that I have is trying to anticipate how much space, let's say, for example,
right.
your squash and your what was that I had last year? The zucchini and the squash tend to fan out. So
mm.
if you've got anything that's small in the area, you have to kind of be careful with.
Mm.
However, if you've got the other stuff planted early enough, it will kind of work itself through the, you know,
mm-hmm.
The lack of light. It will grow to the light because plants are just incredibly resilient, and
mm.
they kind of figure out what they have to do to get the sunlight.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much. This has been such a delightful autumn evening conversation because it's kind of cold and raw in Chicago. So I liked hearing about a garden in the spring.
Okay.
So thank you. And thank you, Reverend.
Thank you for calling. Do we have another caller?
Yes, we do. Hold on. I think we have Mr. Jerry. Go ahead, please.
Oh, there you go.
Hi, right. Jerry.
How y'all feel? I'm good. I want to ask you a question. I was thinking about while I was talking to you. Oh, you know what? I gotta get some of your solid. I don't care. We gotta meet up next year. But anyway, I wanna ask you a question. Where I could find certain organic foods?
With organic foods, you almost have to go to Flushing. There's a big organic shop on Horace Harding. That's got some pretty decent prices. There's also another. Most of them are in Flushing. Also one of the things I would recommend, and it seems to be always fresh. Now I can't say if they're organic or not, but the there's a couple of Asian markets on Casino Boulevard and Main Street that are very, very good. What I can tell is every time I go in there, it's cheaper than any place else, and it's always fresh. So I would recommend those areas to go to.
Okay.
Jerry, where are you located? What city are you in?
I'm in Brooklyn.
Oh, I don't know why I thought you were in Atlanta.
No.
I thought you were calling from Atlanta.
No,
okay.
I'm in Brooklyn.
Okay.
If you're in Brooklyn, then I would go to Chinatown in Brooklyn and look for one of the fresh Asian markets out there.
Okay.
For some reason, I thought you were in Queens. So go to Brooklyn's Chinatown and look for the biggest market, and you know look for the biggest one that's always busy, and you're more likely to find some very fresh produce. It may not necessarily be organic. Some of it is labeled organic or not, but it usually is very, very fresh.
Now, but how about if I don't know if there's organic or not, do I ask questions or?
You ask questions, but again, like anything else, there's a lot of things that are being labeled organic that are not necessarily.
Okay.
You know, Whole Foods is another place that sells a lot of organic items, and Trader Jack is another place as well.
So I know the Trader Jack towards downtown Brooklyn. Okay.
Yeah.
I know that one is that.
Yeah. And you know, organic is good. Don't get me wrong. Organic is good. But the main thing to do around eating healthy is making sure that you do a lot of vegetables and a lot of fruits. You know, that's very, very important.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because, you know, I'm thinking about doing something different, like starting, you know, really next week. So I'm really serious thinking about getting very serious to eat healthy, mostly, like you said, fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the show. I had Vince Gardenia on Wealth Club a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about, he's a weight loss counselor, and he talked about the combination of eating lots of fruits and vegetables, exercising, and having the right nutrients also in your metabolism, like B complex. He talked about B complex, and there was something else. Zinc and some other things that you don't know that our foods don't necessarily provide us, but that you need to help your body keep you clean.
Oh yeah, I listened to the show. I think he was talking about eat some beets, something like that.
Beets are very good. Yes, he did talk about beets.
Yeah, I like beets, but then around where I live, they don't have it. You know, and that's most time when I get like certain stuff, I had to travel. So
yeah. Now, you know, the other thing that's good is juicing, you know, and beets are very good for juicing, beets, carrots, celery, you know, all of that stuff is, matter of fact, I created a concoction yesterday morning with, now I normally put in garlic, but I didn't put in garlic yesterday. I had carrots, some ginger root, and some celery. And, you know, I had about three quarters of one of those large soup containers.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great. That filled me up. That was very good.
Okay.
Well, Graham, so when we come back for the last segment, what I'd like for you to share is a couple of things. One is some of your favorite recipes, and what is the daily care like for a garden? You know, what are the things you have to do every day to care for your garden? Okay, and this is the International Black Summit Talk Show, and this is the Man of the Month show, the fourth Sunday, the Man of the Month, and the Man of the Month for October 2009 is our own host, Glenn Greenwich, and he's already gone organic, and sharing some tips with us on how to care for a garden, an organic garden, and just giving us some more things. And Glenn, this, we have to do this again so that, you know, especially around, I would say maybe February, so that people, you can help people prepare, you know, who are getting into it, you know, because the First Lady has done that garden. People are really looking into it now. And probably next year there'll be a large number of new gardens. So maybe in February we can do another show on preparation. You know, maybe, you know, we can do a segment. And maybe it can just be another show where it just focuses on that all the, you know, all of the time. But if you can tell us, you know, what is the maintenance, the daily maintenance for a garden? And then give us, you know, share some of your recipes with us.
Okay. All right, I will do. And we've got one more listener that's got his hand up.
Okay.
We'll get to him in a little bit.
Okay.
Patterson. I think it's Mr. Patterson. Anyway,
okay.
So the maintenance of the garden it's pretty simple. What I do is I clean it up at the beginning of the year. I do the you know, I turn it over so you get like a little fresh soil. I mix the manure and all that stuff in it, and then what I do is I plant whatever I'm going to plant. And I try to get it in as early as possible. And sometimes I have to plant in waves because I can't get all of the things that I want at the same time. So I'll keep looking. If I can find it, I'll plant it. And so what I do is I usually go out in the mornings because the mornings are the best time to plant new plants. And usually there's a little moisture, little dew or whatever in the air, and so I'll go out and I'll do a little weeding and make sure I water it. If I haven't watered it, I like to water it in the evening. It's the best time to water it for me because it seems to stay with the soil a little longer, especially when you've got those really, really hot days. Because if you water it in the morning or too late in the morning, they'll just evaporate from the sun's heat. So I try to water the garden in the evening, and I try to go check it in the morning and just kind of see how things are growing, if I need to move some stuff around or give it a little bit more attention or do like a little trench or something around it to get a little bit more water to it so that it catches. And then once I know that it catches, not that I worry less about it, but I'm not as concerned with it, and know that all I have to do is give it, you know, make sure it gets some sunlight and some water, and it'll be good to harvest time.
Okay, now when you say catches, tell me what you mean.
It roots because sometimes you'll plant some things, and for whatever reason, maybe, you know, when I do plant, what I do is I'll dig a hole and I'll make sure there are no stones and stuff in it. I'll put it in and I'll wet it the same time I planted, like I'll drench it. And that helps for the root structure to get in place and to kind of get acclimated. And then usually the first, you know, 4 or 5 days to 2 weeks, I can tell how sturdy it's going to be or not.
Okay.
But I'm
okay.
Doing it by catching.
Okay.
So now you said you wanted to.
Let's take our caller first. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Hello?
You're on the air.
Okay. Hello? Yes. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you for taking the call. Yeah. So first, I want to congratulate the man of the month. You know, congratulations.
Thank you.
And I've been listening very carefully to the conversation about the garden. You know, but currently, I'm interested in the conversation. I'm hearing a lot about antioxidants and free radicals. And I'm wondering how that fits in with this organic growing the vegetables that you have there, Glenn.
Well, it's actually perfect, because one of the things when you think about gardens and eating healthy,
mm-hmm.
is that do you want to eat something that's ripe on the vine? So it's very important that you pick it. Matter of fact, there was a study made, and the U.S. was probably way down on the list, but the countries that use regional markets
mm-hmm.
were the most healthy, because
mm-hmm. I saw that.
Because of the regional markets means that they were picked and eaten within days of being, you know, pulled off the vine. So that's the height of the value of the enzymes and the antioxidants that are available in the in the plants and vegetables and
mm-hmm.
fruit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that the antioxidant content of these vegetables and fruits varies from, you know, fruit or vegetable, you know. So which are the higher ones?
The higher ones
are
always the
more
berries.
The antioxidant
berries. The berries, all of the berries, which is why I have strawberries and raspberries in my garden.
Okay.
And I pick them and eat them at the peak of their ripeness.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I'll do in the morning when I go out is I'll pick some and pop some in my mouth, and then I make sure I bring some in to give to my mom, who's 83. And she loves eating fruit and vegetables straight out the garden.
Mm-hmm.
We'll wash them off and she'll pop them in her mouth, because I know they're good for her and they're good for me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I understand blueberries. You know, I watched this PBS special on the brain, and it said that one of the best foods for the brain is blueberries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's because of the antioxidants that are.
Yeah. But yes, that's true, I think. And I just happen to be involved in a promotion of a drink that has a high quantity of antioxidants, mostly in the acai berry that they use. An acai berry is similar to a grape
Yeah. It's spelled what, like A-C-A-I?
Yes, A-I.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's pronounced in a Portuguese way, A-C-I-E. You know?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we, probably do it. You should, Bill, you should come.
What's the name of that product?
Mona V.
Mona V, yeah, I've had some of that. That's excellent stuff.
It's the whole operation is based around the acai berry. And according to them, the juice, the acai juice, has the highest quantity of value in an antioxidant. You know, this berry does. It's very high, 30% higher even than grapes and some of the other berries that you mentioned. But but the general idea of getting antioxidants, I think, is somewhat new for me personally. You know, I didn't know, you know, that's like the chemistry of the food that we eat. Not only is it good, but there's a particular chemistry that we look for, you know, and use.
It's very interesting because, and we've got about 3 minutes left.
Right.
But one of the things about antioxidants, they get rid of what they call the free radicals. The free radicals are floating around in our body, and the free radicals are actually like what's built on our system. You know, it's like buses to iron. So it slows down the process of reproducing the cells.
Mm-hmm.
And minerals and antioxidants actually enhance the process of cell creation. So the reason why we get old is because our body can't keep up with the cell reproduction cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we age.
Mm-hmm.
So the antioxidants are very, very important, as well as just eating right and exercising to help our body out. And, of course, with the elimination of all the pesticides and the toxins that we're taking in from the air and from all the other places that we're getting toxins to, because we got to be careful with the food. Because there's food, you know, there's toxins in foods as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask Bill.
Yeah.
Bill,
uh-huh.
can you come back on Tuesday? Because there's a segment. I guess it comes on about 7. Is it 7:30 your time?
No, I think it's 8, isn't it?
But it's
actually 7:30. For the open segment,
See, there's an open segment on Tuesday, this Tuesday. If you could come on and you can talk about your, about your product during that time. Thank you. Appreciate you calling. Just before we go, you know, once again, this is International Black Summit Talk Radio, and our man of the month for October is Glenn Greenwich, who's been sharing with us about an organic garden. And so he's going to come back. For those of you who are really interested in, you know, you can contact us through Blog Talk Radio. If you go online or go to blacksummit.org, and you can contact the talk show if you're interested in hearing more about this on a regular basis, because this seems like something that might go into another program on the network, because I could see where this would be a really great conversation to have on a regular basis. One of the books that we're reading we have a health group in Chicago called Educational Village Keepers, and we're reading a book called Eating to Die. And I don't know if you still have a 773 caller on. Do you, Glenn?
We have a 773-752
Right, because she might know the author. I just know it's a nurse from New Orleans. I think she's from New Orleans. We're reading that book, but the name of the book is called Eating to Die, and that might be something that people are interested in.
She's live, so you can ask her.
Diane? Hello? She probably has us on mute or something.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, Eating to Die is the name of the book. And she's an RN from New Orleans. If you get a chance to look at that book, it's really interesting. But I just want to say congratulations, Glenn, for being our Man of the Month. And this was a wonderful experience that I think is really, really going to be a regular program soon. So we have to take a look at that. Thank you to our caller, Sheila, from Sheila's in Calumet Park, Illinois, and Nancy, Diane, who's in Chicago, because those are their gardeners, and Bill Patterson, of course, thank you so much, and we'll talk back with you on Tuesday.
And don't forget, we've got some folks in the chat room, Kenny.
Right, okay, thank you for the listeners in the chat room, and Jerry, always thank you for calling in. Remember, we're here every Sunday, same time, 7 Central, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And next week is the first week, and so we'll be on track with myself, Henrietta Byrd, and our regular routine for November. So thank you very much, Glenn. Did you have any, just one good recipe, quick recipe for us before we go?
Well, the thing that I like to do now with my salads is add maybe some dried cranberries and or fresh blueberries, and it gives you kind of a different effect to your, olives and lettuce and tomatoes and, like that. So.
Okay, so that's great. Add berries or something to the salad. That's nice.
That's right.
And dressing. Tell me what's the best dressing? You know, because they say you can make this healthy salad and then you can kill it with the kind of dressing that you use.
Well, balsamic is very good. Oil and vinegar is very good. But I've gotten a special one that's made out of blueberries out of Vermont. That they have a special small blueberries that is exceptional, and in a vinaigrette, and it is so tasty. I can almost drink the vinaigrette itself.
Oh, that's great. Okay. All right. Well, thanks again to everyone, Glenn. Congratulations to you, and thank you for being our Man of the Month. Good night, everyone, and don't forget Tuesday at 5:30 Central, 6:30 Eastern Time, the Wealth Club, and in the open segment, if you have a business that you would like to advertise. God bless. Have a wonderful evening. Good night.
Good night.